Let's welcome Colin, shall we?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Bless you. It's good to be with you guys. We've already had a couple of chapters from this talk. And actually, it's based upon this book called The Blessed Life by Robert Morris. And I have been blessed and challenged by reading it. And it's a thoroughly, thoroughly good book. The stories in it are amazing. His testimony is amazing. You've already heard some stories from it, and I hope you've been encouraged by that. Anybody been particularly really encouraged by it so far who hasn't got a copy of the book? Anybody? Anybody want a copy of the book? Because I'm going to give it to whoever wants it. Nobody wants it. Oh, the lady at the back there, put her hand up first. There you go, Jade. You guys, I don't know. No one's been blessed by those stories. I find that very hard to believe. Are you serious? Has anybody been, no one's been blessed by those stories? Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, there's maybe temporary paralysis in that voices or the hands or something, because yeah, you'd have to be dead not to be blessed by these stories, literally. You really would, because they're amazing. The story, the journey that this guy's been on, the fact that God took him and spoke to him so clearly and said, I'm going to teach you about this gift of giving so that you can go and teach the body of Christ. You know, it's amazing. And the stories that he tells of God's blessing on it is just phenomenal. We looked at the first week in looking at firstborn, first fruits, tithe, and looking at the first part belongs to God, putting God first in our lives, the importance of that. We looked at the second week, and we reminded ourselves that we're not under law, but under grace. You know, this is not about a law thing. No one has to do anything in this new covenant. The Apostle Paul says, all things are permissible to me. It's great. We live under such grace. All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. You know, there are some things which are better to do than others. And one of the ways, secrets of leading a really blessed life is generosity. And, you know, God's heart for you and for me, whoever we are, his delight is in you and me. I just mentioned that. His delight is in you. He loves you. He delights in you. And one of the things he really wants in his delight for you is for you to be blessed. He really wants for you to be blessed. So, and this, one of the secrets to living a blessed life is actually to be generous. So he's saying, be generous, because actually I want you to be blessed. It's astounding. But it's true. I mean, we can turn it around and try and make it legalist. Oh, you've got to give or you won't be blessed. You know, actually, that's rubbish. Let's not put it down. Let's look at the positive. What is God trying to do here? He's trying to bless us. But like all these things, you know, God is looking for a response from us. Just like I was a bit forlornly a minute ago. God is looking for a response. And, you know, actually, it's that response that gives him permission to do stuff in our lives. That's why we sing sometimes, your kingdom come. That's why we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. Because in the moment we pray that prayer, we're giving him permission to do stuff, which otherwise he wouldn't do, because he's not a forceful God. He won't force his way into situations. He can see something, he's longing to do something, but he won't force his way in. You know, I foster teenagers. My wife and I foster teenagers. It's a wonderful thing to do. I absolutely love it. I recommend it to you. If you're thinking about it, nervous about it, just go and get the training and sign up. The thing is, it teaches a lot about parenthood. Having teenagers, your own kids, teach you a lot about parenthood too. But, you know, and these foster kids come in from different backgrounds and all kinds of different issues that they've developed over the years. Mostly, you know, through no fault of their own, sometimes through a lot of fault of their own, but mostly actually through stuff that has happened to them they haven't handled well. And you're longing to love them. Longing to embrace them, longing to really to help them live a more blessed life. You're longing to really, you know, support them and encourage them and really help them to succeed and grow and really do the best and get the most out of life. But you know what? So often you can't. Because, you know, as a person, you can't force your way into someone's life. You cannot force your love on someone. You can't force them to listen to you. You cannot force them to accept the gift that you might give them. Of your time and of your experience and of your love. You can't force them to receive it. And God is just like that with us. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? I need someone else to speak. Because it amazes me. That's our God. So humble and gentle, you know. Looking to break into our lives. Wanting and asking for permission to do that. So, you know, and what, if we give, he says, this is a, that's the secret to living under grace. And living generously is a secret to leading a really blessed life. He loves to multiply what we got. So not only actually if we give the first part, which is here, is the 10%, but if you give more than that, then actually that gets multiplied. Fantastic. What a great blessing that is. And I told you a story, I think, 2 weeks ago, how he showed us that in a really miraculous way for my wife and I, where he multiplied a sacrificial gift of 9,000 up to nearly 90,000. You know, that is amazing. He loves to multiply. And the secret of your multiplication is something is being blessed and something is being given away. That's the stuff that can get multiplied. Just like the fish and the bread. Jesus blessed it and gave it away and it was multiplied. Okay, and then we got on to mammon, the love of money. It's all bound up in our hearts. You know, money is a great way of exposing what's going on in our hearts. So often we can hide. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and we can kid ourselves if we're not careful. Actually, but where we spend our money really does show what we really think is important. The way we handle it shows how confident we are in God's provision, how confident we are he's going to look after us, you know, or how fearful we are that he's not. You know, all this is exposed by the way we handle what's in our bank accounts. And do we handle it with humility and with love? Or do we handle it with pride? Oh, look at what I've got. Or do we handle it with fear? Look what I haven't got. You know, what is going on in our hearts as we handle the wonga, the smelly stuff? You know, but it can get under your skin and we can put it in the place of God. And, you know, you can put it in the place of, you know, I need to win the lottery. Either God needs to do something or I need to win the lottery. But actually, no, neither. Yeah, actually, only one of those is the important one. God, he's our provider. It's a real heart issue. An encouragement to live in generosity and thankfulness. Okay, let's get on. In this book, Robert Morris outlines four foundational principles when handling money. The first one is get out of debt. That sounds nice and quick, doesn't it? So they do love language. Isn't language brilliant? Reminds me of the Far Show. Language is brilliant. You can say some really amazing things in just a couple of words, which are so hard to live. Love others as you love yourself. Okay, that one might take me a while. Get out of debt. You heard my own testimony that I was in debt when I became a Christian and I got given a standing order form and started to give, to tithe regularly. And from that moment to today, I've not been in debt. Despite all the kind of crazy adventuring that we've done, giving up salary sometimes, going and doing voluntary work sometimes. But, you know, God has always watched over us. Amazing. Amazing. But that's a serious one because debt weighs on us. You know, but debt is like we're living in the future. We're living on borrowed time, as it were. We have to work to pay it off. It's a horrendous thing. That's why the mortgage is the grip of death, isn't it? You know, that's where the French, it comes from a French word. You know, debt is a heavy burden. It's hard to cope with it. It affects us. If we live with debt, households that are living with debt, you often find there's more strife in the household. It's not, you don't have to be a prophet to know that. You know, if people have financial troubles, the chances are actually their relationship is going to be under stress. I've been there. You know, you do get under stress if you don't know where your next mortgage payment is coming from. But to get out of debt is really important. It brings freedom. And our culture teaches us that debt is okay. You've got to leverage your debt. You know, and actually, I think that's fundamentally flawed. And because there's a spirit that comes on the back of debt, which weighs us down. And when you don't have debt, you may only have a little left over, but actually, you're freer. There's a freedom that comes. So I encourage us all, let's work on that. Let's get out of debt. Whatever it takes, actually, get out of debt. I think we could do with being freer for the Holy Spirit to be able to blow us this way and that. Avoid manipulation. You know, with money, it's easy to be manipulative. You see TV evangelists do that sometimes. They manipulate people saying, oh, just touch the screen, you know, give $10 here and you're guaranteed to get your miracle, you know. And that's a manipulation. You know, that's horrible. We recognize it for what it is and it makes us angry when people are manipulative like that. But, you know, we can be manipulative too in subtler ways. I found myself sometimes being manipulative. And some of the times when I've been really thinking, you know, I'm not sure what's going on now. I've got a family, growing family. And what have I done? I've given up doing this and I'm doing this, which actually, you know, then the money is different now from what it was. I'm living a very different life. So I can drop hints to my friends, you know, saying, oh, you know, that time, you know, I won't be having a car like that I used to have in the past, you know. And that's manipulation. Forget it, Colin. Stop saying things like that. Just accept that God's going to provide for you. Manipulation is awful at every level. It's demonic, you know. Control, spirit of control is like witchcraft, the Bible says, and it's true. Let's not try and manipulate and control people to give to us for any particular reason. So it's okay to be open and say, look, I need help. That's not manipulation. That's just saying, look, please, will you help me? And it's great to have a culture where you can ask that and actually not be offended if someone says no. So, you know, I asked John if he could help me the other week, and he said, actually, I can't at this moment. I said, fine, that's no problem. That's actually perfect. That's a great arrangement you can have. You know, you want to be able to have that kind of openness with each other where you can just be honest and then not get offended just at what might happen. But money somehow can bring in offense if we're not careful. Give as we feel led. You know, this is important. It is a grace thing. The Holy Spirit is always speaking to us. God is always speaking to us. He speaks to you. Good to see you. He speaks to you. And he speaks to me. And so ask him what is it he wants you to give. He's your father. He loves you. I've already said he wants you to be blessed. Be led by what you feel the Holy Spirit is saying to you. You know, when I was a young Christian, I used to love doing that. Particularly love actually giving just on the spur of the moment. Stuffing cash in an envelope and posting it through someone's door. Hearing about a need and then hiding some money around their house or on their belongings, you know, and actually watching the delight of them and actually hear them give a testimony in church sometime and say, look, what happened to us? We had this trouble and God provided us in this amazing way. That's fantastic. If you've never had the joy of giving in that way, come on, I recommend it. I really recommend it. It's good for the heart. You know, it's good for the heart, and it really blesses you as well as the person who receives. The last point is instant obedience, you know, and why is that important? Anybody? Come on. Are you still awake? Thank you, Sally.
God tells you to do something, and you don't follow up straight away. You don't forget that.
Yes, that's true. That's the one I'm looking for, Michael. Yeah, you know it. You've been there. You've been talked out of a few things, I know. I've been talked out of a few things. Let's be honest. We've all been talked out of a few things, haven't we? We've all been talked out of a few things. So, let's be honest about that. Actually, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, one thing you can guarantee is the devil comes on the back of that and says, did God really say? It happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. Did God really say that you die? Oh, no, come on. Don't believe that rubbish. Happened to Jesus. Just a big booming voice. The dove descends on him and says, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. Next minute, if you're the son of God, you know, it's always going to happen. We can just worm our way out of it. You know, and we pass someone in the street. We feel like compassion on them. Should we give them something? You know, they're poor. And we think, oh, he's probably not deserving. You know, he's probably going to spend it on drink and drugs. We just walk by. We rationalize ourselves out of the compassion. Or we think, oh, we're going to give to this charity, or we're going to give to this third world cause. And actually, you know, but oh, then we think about it, and we think, oh, well, you know, all the governments are corrupt in those places. Why should we give to them? It's just going to get wasted. And we've hardened our hearts, and we've talked ourselves out of it. That's why instant obedience is so important. Do you know there's a gift of giving? If you've got a Bible, we might want to turn to Romans. Just going to read those few verses. It says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality or generosity. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. There's a gift of giving. There's a gift of giving. We're all called to give, that's true, just like there's a gift of evangelism, we're all called to evangelize. There's a gift of healing, we're actually all called to pray for the sick. God has anointed us all to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. All these things are gifts that we can all practice, but some of us have special gifts in these things. We're all called to give, to live a blessed life, but actually some of us have a special gift, a gift of really radical giving, over-the-top generosity. And Robert Morris, the guy who wrote that book, who you're going to love, by the way, Jade, you know, the guy who, he actually is given away over 9 cars in 18 months at one period of his life. And every time he gave away a car, another one would have, he'd have get, receive another one. Amazing. One time, he felt like the Holy Spirit said to him, he should not give away the car, he should sell it. So he sold it. I can't remember if it's $10,000 or $15,000. And he then was wondering what to do with the money. And he's on a mission trip, and he meets a missionary. And the missionary, as he's driving past the garage, you know, the guy says to him, "Why? You know, you should replace this beat-up old wagon. Why haven't you replaced it yet?" Oh, he said, "God's already told me he's going to replace it for me. He's told me the exact one he's going to get me. It's that van over there." And it was for the $10,000 or $15,000 that he sold the car for. So he just said, "Here you are. Here's the money." Yeah, amazing. Three times in his life, he's given away, or him and his wife have given away, everything that they've owned. Everything. Oh, boy. You know, I'm not sure I have the faith for that. But, you know, that just speaks to, you know, where's our trust? The fact that I can't do that at the moment, or I don't feel like I can, is that mainly because God, maybe God's not telling me, maybe, I hope. But also, is it a question of what's going on in my heart? Where's my security? You know, is my security, in fact, I've saved some money up? You know, because really, that's not very much security, is it? It's much better to have God than it is to have the money. So, I don't know. Yeah, so that's why it's important to teach on this subject as well, because, you know, we want to encourage those people that have this gift. We really need them in our churches. Kingdom work does cost, so it's important. But, you know, and when we talk about it, people can get offended. They can get offended when we talk about money. And one reason is because of what I talked about earlier, manipulation. And we're right to get offended when we smack a manipulation. Absolutely, we should all get offended when that happens. Give you complete permission to pick out your packets of gravel and stone me if you feel like I'm manipulating you, because that was not at all in my heart. But another reason people get offended is because actually their own hearts are being challenged, and they know they haven't really entered into complete freedom in this area. And if that's the case, what we need to do is really take a few minutes just to reflect and think about that. And maybe just think about now, just think about, ask the Holy Spirit, you know, Holy Spirit, is there someone you want me to bless this week with a secret gift? Let's chip away at that stronghold in our hearts and say, look, actually, I want to bless someone for you this week, Lord Jesus. Is there someone you want me to give a secret gift to? Not let my left hand know what my right hand's doing. Give something to them without any strings attached. Not because they deserve it, but just because I want to bless them and honor you. Thank you, Jesus. And, you know, again, this is not something we talk about a lot, but it's so true. God's a rewarder. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because everyone who comes to him must first of all believe that he exists. That's good. The Bible says even the devil believes that he exists and trembles. But it must believe he exists. But then also that he rewards those who diligently seek him. And if you read scriptures again and again and again, you get that. You know, because our God's a relational God. You know, in that sense, I want to reward our foster children in our home. I really do. But sometimes I can't. I'm just unable to. They won't let me. But if they act in a certain way, then they enable me to. And it's the same way with us. And so, you know, God teaches us this principle again and again and again. So he says to his disciples, you know, Peter says to him, "We've left everything to follow you, Lord." And Jesus says, "Yeah, I know." He says, "No one will leave father or mother or sister or brothers or lands or whatever or good jobs to follow me. And you won't receive 100 times in this life and in the next life eternal life." That's Mark chapter 10, verse 29 to 30. And then again, you get the parable of the miners, don't you, in Luke chapter 19. And you get this rich guy, this is God again in the parable, giving people talents or miners and telling them to go away and do business. And one goes away and makes 10 miners. And he says, well done. You made 10 miners with your miner. Fantastic. I put you in charge of 10 cities. Another one says, I've made 5. Great. Well done. Another one says, here's your miner back. He hasn't done anything with it. God loves to reward. He loves it when we take a risk and step out for him. Doesn't like it when we play safe and do nothing. Doesn't take any faith to do nothing. Well, maybe. Sometimes. Now, when I talk about this, some people say, oh, well, this doesn't really apply to me. I can switch off because I haven't got any money. But that's to miss the point. That is to really miss the point, because the spiritual principle behind this is actually, if we're faithful with small things, God gives us more. So the guy who had the miner, who made 10 miners, God put him in charge of 10 cities. So if we're faithful, whatever God's put in our hands, it may be a little, it may be a lot, if we're faithful with it, God's heart is to actually increase that, and because his plan is to get more and more blessing flowing throughout the world. So he wants the wealth to be in the hands of those who are going to bless. That's just the way he works. Yes, I know some of you are thinking that, yeah, but the whole world lies under the sway of the evil one, Colin. Yeah, but Jesus is wresting it from him through his body bit by bit, and one day we'll have the whole lot. Because he that is in us is greater than he that's in the world. You know, Robert Morris tells some fantastic stories of some of his friends, some of his personal friends. He tells one about this friend comes up to him and says, Robert, I feel like God is telling me, I'm given faithfully, I've always given 10%, I've always given faithfully throughout my life, and God has blessed me. But I really feel that God says to me, if I give 15% next year, he'll double my income from my business. And if I give 20% the year after, he'll double it again. Do you know what? He did that. He didn't wait for God to double his income, but he started to give 15%. And that year, the income from his business doubled. So the next year, he did give 20%. And the income from his business, you guessed it, it doubled again. And today, he gives 40% of his income from his business away. He's onto a good thing. He tells another story, which is much more harrowing than that. Because at one level, 10, 15%, you know, what's the difference? Okay, it's a bit. 5% for those who are weak on maths. Yeah, he tells a story of a guy that was up one night, really another good friend who's done well with business throughout 20 years, building up his own company, and he's just looking at his bank account and thinking, oh, I'm really blessed. I have such a good, healthy bank account, lovely family, it's fantastic. You know, he thought, just check my savings accounts. Oh, yeah, look at that. They got more than I thought. That's fantastic. Then he goes on to check his pensions and thought, wow, look at this. My pensions are doing so well. He went to bed that night, slept like a baby, thinking, oh, I'm just so, so blessed. Next morning, in his quiet time, he's up and he hears the Holy Spirit say to him, I can't remember his name, Bob or whatever it was. Bob, how much money have you got? And he thought, uh-oh. What do you mean, Lord, in my pocket? You know, yeah, I've got a couple of bucks. He said, that's not what I meant. How much money have you got? And he says, you know, I know down to the nearest cent because I counted it all last night. And he felt the Holy Spirit say to him, will you give it to me? Oh, my word. I can't, you know, that's hard to imagine. But sometimes God does that for us. And if he does that for us, if it's truly the Lord, then actually that's a blessing in this for us. And so this guy trusted God and said, okay, I'm going to give it all away. He gave it all away. That year, he made more than he'd made in the previous 20 years put together. You know, that's a friend of Robert's. You know, this is not, I don't know, it's just an encouraging story. And, you know, it's a shame in some levels that we've kind of moved on from the old days when we all used to be farmers. It's not a shame in other levels. I'm rather pleased. But when I go to Nepal, lots of the people, 95% of the people are still on subsistence farming. You know, and so they know that actually when they get what they've got at the end of the harvest, some of it is for eating, some of it is for giving, and some of it is for actually putting back in the ground. So it's need, greed, or seed. You know, they're faced with these issues every few months when they have a harvest. Are they going to eat it all now? If they do that, they're going to be very poor very quickly. How much do they sow? The more they know, the more they sow, the more they reap, because they reap what they sow, and they reap a multiplication of what they sow. It's just the way that God has made the world. It's in every sphere you see in our health. You know, we want to get fit. What do you have to do? You have to go down to the gym, or you have to go running, or do something crazy like that. It seems crazy, doesn't it? You know, I want more energy. Okay, go for a run. Now, what are you talking about? I just told you I haven't got enough energy. Go for a run. But that's the way God set up the world. What do we need, actually? Sow it. I haven't got enough friends. Be friendly. I don't get invited out to enough dinners. Well, I invite a few people around for dinner. You know, this is the way the world works. God is, you know, he puts it very plainly. We do reap what we sow. Those who sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Those who sow generously, reap generously. And that's, you know, my friends in Nepal, they see it. If they sow a lot, they reap a lot. It's fantastic. You know, and so God is challenging us, but only because he wants to bless us. You know, and this year, I want to say this year, you know, guys, I've been so blessed by the church. The church is responding really, really well in all the churches that are responding really well in this area, and people are giving, which is humbling as a leader. And it's really humbling when you get those people with the gift of giving that give extravagantly. And this year we've had three extravagant gifts, five-figure gifts, come into the church. And you think, oh my word, I literally have been unable to work through weeping. I've just not experienced it. And yet these people have given out of what God has given them to that point where they're saying, you know, we trust you as leaders with this sum of money. That is just humbling. Really humbling. But also, the other reason I weep is because you don't know the weight actually that comes on you. I've had to make really tough decisions as church leader. I've had to make people redundant and actually try to decide what can happen, what can't happen. You know, that is really, really tough as we work those things out. To have people give extravagantly to us has brought some freedom to us this year, where we can say, actually, you know, we can try some stuff now. That's a great place to be. You know? So when I've stopped weeping, I can start dancing. Yeah, okay, I won't dance. But that's fantastic. So I just want to honour you for that and thank you for that. And But I wanted to finish the talk, really, by praying for those that really feel like they have the gift of giving. Because I just want you to be honoured today and actually to pray for breakthrough for you. And as your family, I think we should all be praying for those people with that gift. We pray for evangelists regularly. We pray for pastors regularly. We pray for teachers regularly. We pray for healers regularly. We pray for all these other gifts. Let's pray for the givers today, shall we? Let's honour them. So if you feel like this is your gift, this is an area that actually you feel called to do, to give to the kingdom, to God, then I'd just like you to stand now. Don't be ashamed about it, you know, because it's just good to honour God for what he's put in your heart. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And the rest of us as family, I really want us to honour these guys and to bless them, to lay our hands on. If you find someone, move from our seats, let's find people to stand around. Let's pray for them now. That they will be blessed in their work. They will be blessed in their homes. They'll be blessed in their workplace. They'll be blessed as they go out, blessed as they come in, blessed as they lie down, blessed as they get up. That the favour of God will rest on them. Come on, let's get out of our seats, lay hands on them and bless them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I want to thank you for these guys, these men and women, Lord God, who are generous. I want to thank you for their heart, Lord Jesus. I want to thank you for the gift of your spirit that you put on each one of them. I thank you for their generosity. I thank you for their faith. I thank you for their lives, Lord God. And today we want to pray a huge blessing upon them. Oh, Lord Jesus, let your favor rest upon them. Let them know you with them, Lord Jesus. In this season, Father, we pray for breakthrough for them. We pray that they would hear your voice in miraculous ways, Lord God, just as Robert Morris and his friends have done, that they would hear your voice and that they would adventure. They would adventure in the high places in this grace of giving, Lord Jesus, that they would hit new heights in it, Lord Jesus, that they would have new breakthroughs in their income, Lord God, that they would be blessed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for them. Oh, Lord God. God is wanting to raise up Josephs. Today, God is wanting to anoint people like he anointed Joseph with heavenly strategies for making wealth, heavenly strategies for saving kingdoms, businesses, empires, because God has compassion on all men. And this blessing will not be just for the church, it will be for the world. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your heart, Lord God, which is to bless. And Father, for the rest of us, I just want to pray that our hearts, Lord God, will be filled today with a new appreciation of your love for us, of your heart towards which is to bless us, that you would help us all to grow in this grace of giving, in the spirit of generosity, that our church, Lord God, might be known for a place of generosity. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your generous heart. Amen.
Let's thank Colin, shall we? Brilliant. Thank you, buddy.